So there's meaning in these stories that our gut tell us. And the gut is now being referred to as the second brain for good reason. There's a whole world of activity happening inside of our gut. However, there is a possibility that depending on what's going on inside of your body, these gut instincts are actually leading you astray. Welcome to the Becoming Superhuman podcast. My name is Dr. Nirvani Umadat, and I spent years as a dentist, researcher, traveler of the world, and entrepreneur. Through helping thousands of people and my studies of conventional, ancient, and spiritual sciences, I've realized that merging science and spirituality is necessary for us to understand who we really are. I'm here to empower you to up-level your life, mind, body, and soul, and to become your own version of superhuman. Have you ever had a feeling in the pit of your stomach where something just didn't feel right? Or that sensation of butterflies in your stomach when you were facing something nerve-wracking like public speaking or a big presentation? These feelings in our gut say something about our emotional intelligence, our emotional awareness, and our intuitive connection to ourselves as it relates to the outside world. So there's meaning in these stories that our gut tell us. And the gut is now being referred to as the second brain for good reason. There's a whole world of activity happening inside of our gut. However, there is a possibility that depending on what's going on inside of your body, these gut instincts are actually leading you astray. We are going to talk today about getting our gut right. Why is this so important, and what exactly is the gut? The importance is that the gut is our digestive tract, and we use our gut and rely on it functioning properly to extract nutrients from the food that we're consuming and then really power and fuel us to operate at the highest levels that we can. Now, our digestive tract is literally that. It's a tract and it runs throughout our entire body. It starts in the mouth, it goes down to the throat, the esophagus, the stomach, and then the various aspects of our intestine. And this is typically what's referred to when we say the gut or the digestive tract. The gut is sort of this centralized, localized area, but the entire process of digestion happens throughout our body. Now, the term gut microbiome is one that has been heavily focused on in the health and wellness space for a long time now. And there are a lot of products, a lot of companies focused on balancing or regulating the gut microbiome. And that's incredibly important and encouraging from a functional health standpoint. But I'd like to talk a little bit today about what that term gut microbiome actually means and why it's important for how we function and our gut health overall. So the term microbiome really refers to a community of cells that are non-human or microbial in nature. So this includes things like bacteria, like fungal cells, archaea, and the collection of these cells that come together and cooperate with one another, as well as cooperating with our own human cells, is part of this dance that our bodies are doing with the microbiome. And the reason it's so important is because we are far more microbial than we are human. And what I mean by that is our microbial cells, so the microbiome in our bodies, outnumber our human cells 10 to 1. So depending on what you read and where you read it, you'll get a mix of answers as to exactly how many cells comprise the human body, but it's around 100 trillion. So of those 100 trillion cells, about 10 trillion of them are human cells versus the rest, 10 times that number, being microbial in nature. So the idea that we could ignore the fact that we are primarily comprised of cells that are non-human cells, and that's what allows us to be these human versions of ourselves, is one that doesn't really, you know, symbiotically combine these things and allow us to function at our highest levels. So this is why there is now a focus on recognizing exactly how important the gut is, and also ways that we can regulate the gut so that we are really in a place of optimal health and we feel good, we feel energized, we feel well-balanced, and we function that way. And that is reflected in the way that we feel, in the way that we look, and in the things that we can do on a day-to-day basis. Now, when you have a dysregulated gut microbiome, or basically the microbes, or we'll focus a lot on bacteria just because bacteria outnumber the other microbes in your microbiome significantly. But when your microbiome and the bacteria within the microbiome are imbalanced, meaning that you've got different bacterial populations that are totally out of whack in terms of the number of bacteria that are present or not present, or you have certain types of bacteria that are overgrowing versus other types that are undergrowing, you have a system that is not well balanced and that is actually now a breeding ground for traumatic injury and problems to occur. So what this looks like is it looks like inflammation that builds up because you now have competition rather than like this symbiotic relationship between different bacteria, different fungi, different human cells throughout the digestive tract. You have competition or you have competitive chemicals that are being released to either eliminate or support certain cells. And this over time causes trauma to the human cells, the human body, as well as the microbiome overall. And whenever you have trauma in the body, that results in inflammation. So trauma equals inflammation. It's not a good thing. It's a sign to your body that something's going on and needs to be dealt with. But a lot of the time, what happens is in the gut, these signals of inflammation, they're not overt. Like you can't see that your gut is inflamed necessarily. And if you can, then that is, you know, it's incredibly far along and you're dealing with more severe issues. But in general, most people don't have a visual sense or a really acute sense that there's inflammation in their gut. We just know, I don't feel so great. I feel like I can't digest this food. I can't digest that food. You know, there's only a certain time that I can eat before I'll feel bloated or I'll feel unwell. But really, there's this whole collection of cells. Like there's this universe of activity happening inside of us. And to not support and honor that is one of the reasons that this chronic, often initially low-grade inflammation will stay within the body. And the term for it is called systemic chronic inflammation. Basically, throughout the body, there are low-lying levels of inflammation that just kind of stay there and fester and over time get bigger and more severe. But this systemic chronic inflammation, it persists and then you get cell damage and then you eventually start to get much larger problems. So in our gut and really all over our body, but today we're talking specifically about the gut, the cells of your gut, and I'm talking about your human cells now, your gut cells, they connect with one another quite literally, like they are interconnected and they communicate with one another. And actually function in this harmonic concert where they're constantly sending out information and receiving information and then modifying how they interact with each other. And all of this is happening within your body at any given time, like hundreds of trillions of different interactions. So it's actually so amazing and incredible. I can't even put it into words just how divinely created we actually are, just as an aside. But this is happening inside of your body. Depending on the signals that are going on, your cells are, as I said earlier, connected to one another. And if there is inflammation that persists around the cells, and there's sort of this inflammatory soup that's sticking around the cells, those cells become weakened. And typically, they are connected to one another tightly enough, particularly within the gut, where they're able to absorb certain things within the gut itself. So from the food that you're consuming, there are nutrients that are getting taken into the cells, but that those junctions, those adhesions between the cells are tight enough that the things that they're taking in and all of the activity happening within each of those cells is staying confined within the cell until it needs to release it to the environment or to its neighboring cell. And this is, in an ideal world, it's done in a controlled way where the cells are releasing nutrients, releasing energy, releasing chemicals, releasing hormones as a result of information that they're taking in from the rest of your body, from the nervous system. And it's controlled, it's regulated, and it's done in a way to support you so that you have the maximum amount of energy and health benefits that you can have from the food that you're consuming. Now, if those cells are in this inflammatory soup, as I said earlier, where there are constantly inflammatory molecules hitting those cells, so the cells of your gut are normally kind of bound together like this really tightly, you know, those junctions between the cells are nice and closed, they open up slightly, or different channels between the cells will open up on demand as they need to, when they need to release the things they need to. But when they're inflamed or inflammatory molecules are hitting these cells, it's like anything else that is constantly being injured over time, it weakens. And the connection between these cells will over time start to weaken. And then you get this situation where cells of the gut that were once really nicely, tightly held together and operating between and amongst each other in a really controlled way, they start to loosen up. You know, this really tight net, it starts to kind of unwind. You start getting these gaps and these holes in the gut. And so now, where you had really uniform, tight, smooth tissue that was comprised of cells that were operating in a really organized, coordinated way, that were taking in information, that were allowing them to extract only the things that they need and then release only the things that you need or the cells in their immediate environment need, you now have this kind of messy, chaotic situation where those cells are loosely held on to each other. And like anything else, I mean, typically information travels more easily when you're more closely linked to somebody. When you're really far away, it's much easier for things to get lost in translation. Or, you know, a good analogy, I guess, is if you wanted to give somebody a letter, you could either hand it to them if you were right beside them, or you could put it in the mail and mail it to them. And there is a chance that it gets lost there somewhere. So it's the same type of thing. You know, these cells are trying to send information to one another. And in this inflammatory condition where the microbiome is not being well regulated and the human cells within us are not being well regulated, you now have nutrients that aren't being extracted from the food. You now have hormones and other chemicals that should be formulated within cells that aren't being because we're not getting the proper nutrients. You now have all of these inflammatory biomarkers floating around within the gut and around the cells in general and within the bloodstream that shouldn't really be there, that are telling cells, oh, there's a problem, there's a problem, there's a problem. And in the gut, you've got these cells that were really tightly connected, really strong force with one another, and now they're kind of floating away from each other. There's some gaps in there, and you end up getting holes in the gut. And this is the basis for leaky gut syndrome, which is now becoming more and more prevalent, especially in North America. So what are one of the ways or the most prevalent way that this happens, that this system of like complete dysregulation begins? And one way is through nutrition or lack of nutrition. So when we're not eating the things that we need to be eating for the highest level of gut health and really honoring and supporting our microbiome, these types of things happen. You know, you're eating food that isn't good for you. You're eating food that is nutrient poor. You're eating food at the wrong times where digestion just really isn't meant to happen. So if you're eating, you know, primarily right before bed, that's a time when your body is generally trying to shut down. And digestion and the breakdown of food and the extraction of nutrients, and that's sort of where I'd like to kind of put an emphasis, is that we really need to start getting back to the idea of eating to live versus living to eat. And I love eating well. Like, I love going to a nice restaurant and having a beautiful meal. But we also need to be considering what we're putting in our bodies overall, because this is leading to this crisis within the population where so many people are not being supported from a nutrient density perspective. And we now have this development of leaky gut syndrome, which is pervasive. Even in my practice, there are many people who have been diagnosed with quote unquote leaky gut. And what leaky gut actually is it's an inflammatory condition. It results from chronic inflammation, which has just been allowed to fester and stick around too long. And beyond the inflammation within the gut itself, it leads to a whole host of problems throughout the body, one of which is the deterioration of the blood-brain barrier. And, you know, this isn't to say that there aren't a lot of other things happening, and I will touch briefly on the liver as well. But within the gut, there's a direct, through the bloodstream, there's a direct connection to the brain. And, you know, normally that's amazing and healthy, and you want that connection. You want nutrients getting to the brain. But the blood-brain barrier is, once again, this very, very tightly regulated barrier protecting the cells of the brain that is incredibly selective about what goes in and what goes out, more so than the gut. Because the brain doesn't want just anything getting in to its cells. It doesn't want just anything leaving. And it needs to be more fortified against things like inflammatory markers that are circulating within the bloodstream. Because in order to have you functioning well, or at least at what seems like your regular baseline level, your brain needs to be intact. And so it takes more to break through that blood-brain barrier and cause damage or cause issues. But it does happen. And when it does happen, there are very real problems. And I mean, one of the most common things that is happening, I would say relatively prevalently along with leaky gut, is quote unquote brain fog. And brain fog is once again linked back to inflammation in the body, inflammation in the gut that is now circulating within the bloodstream and breaking down this really, really fortified level of protection that the brain has against invaders. And when we hear things like pro-inflammatory biomarkers, I think a lot of people sort of glaze over, you know, the interleukins, interleukin 1, interleukin 6, interferon, C-reactive protein. All of these things are inflammatory biomarkers. And when they're elevated in your blood, it's a sign that there's inflammation in the body. There's inflammation circulating throughout the body. That's, you know, these molecules are circulating to alert the body that there's something wrong. And really, it's a sign that we need to be doing something differently. And some of these molecules, when they initially hit, for example, the blood-brain barrier, they don't penetrate. Like, they don't just slip in. But repeatedly over time, if these inflammatory levels don't get under control, so if we're not really being aware or cognizant of the signs that our body is giving us, and that could be something like not feeling well or indigestion, that's usually a sign that there is something going on with your digestive processes. And it's not necessarily that you need to take a medication to help with the digestion. It's often that you need to change your eating and you need to lower overall levels of inflammation within the body. But if we are not honoring the signs that our body is giving us in understanding something is wrong, these inflammatory markers continue to circulate within the blood and they continue to bathe our cells, including the cells of the brain, with information that there's a problem. Like, there's inflammation in the system. I am here to tell you that this is real. It's not going away. It's still here. I'm still here. I'm still this biomarker telling you that there's a problem. And over time, those things start to break through. And, you know, just like the gut ends up with these holes in the tissue, in the gut membrane, so does the brain. And the blood-brain barrier becomes weakened and things can then pass more easily. And there's a certain type of immune or inflammatory response all called the microglia within the brain. And, you know, they basically are like the sentinels of the brain to really watch for and look out for inflammatory markers. And they will respond by trying to wall certain areas that are weakened off, trying to capture some of these cells that are getting through. And by the way, it's not just hormones, it's not just chemicals, it's not just these molecules that slip in. It is also, you know, the gut has all of this bacteria, all of these fungi that make up part of the populations of the gut. All of that gets, you know, leaked into your body as well. So your body is now, through the holes in the gut lining, is circulating essentially inflammation and signs of inflammation, and then food particles, undigested food particles in many cases, or inappropriately digested food particles, which are also triggering inflammation in other parts of the body, and bacteria and fungal cells that are leaving, amongst other things, that are leaving the gut where they are supposed to be contained and ending up in other parts of the body. And your circulatory system, the blood vessels of your body, are incredibly efficient at carrying blood from one place to another. They do that all day long. But they also carry these things within the blood that shouldn't necessarily be there. So you get this situation where you have sort of this, like this messy soup that's being carried throughout the body. And in particular, when it gets to the brain, as an example, it leads to cognitive problems. And as I said earlier, the idea that brain fog is related to this is a very real one and is something that a lot of people, I think, can relate to, because it's something that I've heard people talk about a lot. So all of this to say that getting your gut right and really taking care of your metabolic stress within your body, your inflammatory load within your body, these are all critical for you to get to a place of high level health and to feel really good, really energized. And I mentioned earlier, I was just going to touch on the liver, and I'll do that now. But non-alcoholic fatty liver is something that is now being diagnosed at a greater degree than it ever has been before in younger people. So fatty liver disease is something that historically in medicine was associated with high alcohol consumption. And there's now a term, or there has been for a long time, but it's now one that is more familiar because it's being brought up more often. But non-alcoholic fatty liver is essentially, once again, related to inflammation and gut dysbiosis. So, you know, you have a dysregulated gut. You've got a microbiome that's totally out of whack. You've got cells fighting one another, not working cohesively together. You get this leaky gut situation where there are holes in the gut that are allowing things to indiscriminately pass from the gut throughout the body and into the bloodstream. And you get higher levels of fat, so lipopolysaccharides that are traveling to the liver and, you know, not processed in a way where they can be broken down or detoxified properly. And then the hepatocytes, or the cells of the liver, receiving these improperly processed fats directly through the gut rather than through a process of further digestion, see that as an insult, or see that as a form of injury. And so the liver is now receiving and collecting and storing these excess fats, and that's resulting in collections of fat being stored within the liver. And people who don't really consume a lot of alcohol and do things that would immediately come to mind as incredibly destructive behaviors to the body from like a detoxification process, you know, you think I'm just eating the food that I always eat, depending on whether that's the right food for you or not, and that food is supportive of optimal gut health, the fact that it could be causing these inflammatory conditions is also leading to this other, now relatively within the population, common condition where, you know, the liver, which is a massive detoxifying organ, isn't able to function well. And now you've just got this problem of inflammation and inability to effectively remove toxins, compounded with the fact that your liver isn't functioning well. And with all of this in mind, it really, really speaks to what I was just mentioning a little bit earlier, the importance of getting your gut health as optimally regulated as we can, because it really does affect everything else. And your microbiome is a huge part of that. And I mean, there are things that we're consuming that we need a really healthy, well-regulated microbiome to get benefits from. Like, we can't typically digest fiber. So you need fiber within the diet to help keep things moving well within the nervous, within the digestive system, and yes, within your nervous system. But there are bacteria within your gut when it's functioning properly that can actually break down fiber and turn it into short chain fatty acids and things like butyrate, acetate, propionate. These things are precursors to other anti-inflammatory molecules that can be used by your body to actually, you know, regulate the digestive system, regulate inflammation, and continue to keep things moving throughout the gut. Things like K2, vitamin K2. We need vitamin K2 for optimal calcium regulation. And there are bacteria in the gut that can actually make K2 from the food that we eat. But if we're not really consciously focused on maintaining good bacterial health, we end up either knocking some of these bacteria out, or by virtue of neglect, they get overpowered or overtaken by other groups of cells, other groups of organisms, and then you start to get this imbalance, and that leads to like that whole host of other problems that I was speaking to up until now. So having said all of that, I think it is important to focus on how do we acknowledge that inflammation and gut microbiome dysregulation is a problem, and then how do we fix it? And just to put into perspective how important this is, there have been lots of experiments that have been done with mice in this field. It's harder to do these things on humans, but it's been shown time and time again. And there is a researcher by the name of D'Angelo, I believe, and him and his team have conducted a lot of research in this realm, in the realm of gut health and the gut microbiome. But what they found is they took germ-free mice and they translocated the gut microbiome of mice that were older and that were less spry. They put the gut microbiome, so the microbiome or microbial populations that were in those older mice, they took them, put them in these younger germ-free mice, and they observed what happened. And these young germ-free mice started to behave with cognitive impairment, so inability to learn as well, and memory loss and lethargy or a lack of energy. So basically, these young mice that should have had a lot more energy, and presumably, if they had the bacterial support, a lot of cognitive potential, started to behave like the older mice did when they received the same gut microbiome of the older mice. And that's just interesting to me because it really highlights how important the gut is for how we function, and this idea that it really is like a second brain. And if we are not supporting it, it's going to show up throughout our body. It's going to show up physically and also intuitively. Like that gut instinct or that sense of being directed by your gut, that comes from a strong gut microbiome supporting the human cellular interactions within the gut. And when you don't have that support, you don't have that camaraderie going on in your gut, the feelings that you get, the sensations that you have might be entirely turned off. You might be actually numb or dull from a gut sensory perspective. Because if you have holes in your gut and you're leaking inflammatory biomarkers into the rest of your body, your gut and the microbiome, whatever is left of it in there, it has other fish to fry, like sending you information about emotional perception of the external environment so that you can process that isn't function number one when there is active trauma going on. And so what happens is in your body, you'll compensate. So if something needs to be fixed or needs to be compensated for, your body is really intelligent and will do that while neglecting other things. And so giving you proper intuitive or emotional guidance is not the primary thing that's going to happen with the collection or the community of cells that you have in your gut when there is chaos and complete dysfunction happening in there. Those things don't go together. You have to have harmony. You have to have balance. You have to have cohesion to receive. And that's on a physical level, like physical interactions harmonious, a physical interaction between your cells that is of collective benefit. And then when you have that, you then start to tap into these other frequencies that are less physically driven, that are emotional or intuitive. And they go together and they're both real, but you don't get the one without having the other. Like you don't get the quote unquote higher levels of consciousness. So where you're really understanding and sensing things on more of an energetic level than a purely physical level, if your physical level isn't right. So what are some things that we can do to get our gut right? Because that's the name of the game here, is we want to be operating in our highest physical form. So I'm going to leave this as simple as I can. Like I'll try and make this as simple as I can from the perspective of not overcomplicating it and making it as actionable as possible. But number one is diet. And that I'm going to focus on two separate things within diet. One is fiber-rich foods, and the second is probiotic foods. So things that enhance the microbiota in your body. And the reason that number one, fiber-rich foods is important is because the bacteria within your gut, within your digestive system, although your human cells, can't pick the fiber up and start using it, the fiber itself, depending on what you're eating, it actually acts as this like physical, mechanical cleansing of the gut lining. So it washes around and through other foods and it helps to move things throughout the digestive system. So in a very physical way, fiber is helpful from that perspective. But the bacteria in your gut can actually uptake the fiber. And although your human cells can't use it, the bacteria can. They can intake it, and then they can convert that insoluble fiber and or soluble fiber. So, however it actually gets broken down within the gut. But they can take that fiber in, and they can then convert it into what are called short-chain fatty acids. And short-chain fatty acids can be utilized by human cells. But beyond that, the short-chain fatty acids that are created within bacterial cells, they also lead to other molecules like butyrate, acetate, these other things that can then be used by your human cells. And these are precursors to anti-inflammatory chemicals, anti-inflammatory molecules, and they can also be precursors to molecules that you would use for energy in your own human cells. And that is where the importance is that you can take something, or that your body will take something that isn't necessarily digestible immediately by the human cells, but because we are more microbial than human, can be utilized by the microbiota, by the bacteria in your body, and then be converted into something that is useful for you, and not only useful, but necessary for you to function well. That's why the fiber is important. And so when I say fiber, I'm talking about things like fruits, vegetables, legumes, whole grains. These types of things have fiber in them. That's number one. Number two I had mentioned was the probiotics. And the reason probiotics are important is because they actually support this community of microbiology happening inside of you. So probiotics help to regulate the bacteria that are in your body and to regulate the interaction of those bacteria that are within your body as well. And when I say probiotics, the things that I'm referring to, and there are lots of probiotic foods, and a lot of them are considered ancient foods, but like fermented foods, but yogurt, kefir, kimchi, sauerkraut, trying to think of some other examples. These are examples of there's like fermented soybean is common in Asian cuisine. These types of things are what I'm referring to when I say probiotic food. If you're in North America, probably the easier ones to get your hands on if you just want to go to the grocery store to pick these up would be things like yogurt or kefir. You can find that pretty much at any grocery store. But the reason these bacteria, or these foods are important for your bacteria, is because they promote bacterial colonization within the gut, and they have a high concentration of lactic acid bacteria. And these specific types of bacteria are important for maintaining and balancing your gut microbiome. And what the bacteria within probiotic food need to do or need to be good at is being sticky or really adhering well to the gut lining, because there is a lot happening within your gut. Like there are digestive acids that are sloshing around in there, and you know there's already food in there. There is peristalsis, or there's muscle contraction happening a lot of the time. So the bacteria that you're introducing into the gut through probiotic foods need to be able to withstand all of that and adhere to the gut, and then stay there long enough to colonize the gut and allow certain bacterial populations, like these lactic acid bacteria, to populate and then to really proliferate inside of the gut. So these types of foods are important. Okay, so fiber, probiotic foods, and then physical activity is incredibly important. And I had just mentioned peristalsis. So that's actually muscular contraction within the gut. And it moves the food. Like one of the purposes of peristalsis is to actually move the food or the digestive content throughout your digestive system so that it doesn't just stay stuck in any one particular spot. And it's literally the contraction of your digestive tract, and it kind of squeezes the food through it and along the tract. And when you engage in physical activity, it enhances that activity of peristalsis, meaning that, you know, when you move your body, and particularly when you're focused on things around the core or around the digestive system, it helps not only get certain muscles contracting within the digestive tract, but it also helps to activate the cells of the digestive tract, activate digestive enzymes, help break things down, you know, wake certain cells up and allow them to engage in that nutrient extraction process within your digestive tract. So it is really important to keep physically active. And for myself, I do yoga really regularly, and there is actually a yoga pose, and the English name for it is called wind removing pose. And if anyone is a yoga practitioner out there, this asana involves you're lying on your back and you bring your first each knee up to your chest and you hug your knee to your chest. So you can do that with your right leg, bringing your right knee up near your shoulder if you can, hug it tight. You do the same thing with your left leg and your left knee. You bring your left leg up to your chest, hug it tight to you. And then you lift both of your legs up, hug them in towards your chest, squeeze, and you hold this. For when I do it in class, it's about 30 seconds, but you can do that posture at any time throughout your day if you have a moment to just get on the ground and lay down and, you know, hug your legs to your chest. It's called wind removing pose because people can release flatulence when you do that posture, because it does move gas throughout the digestive tract and, you know, out of the body. And so that's just to highlight that physical activity is an important part of this whole thing. And really just maintaining and honoring the fact that we are so microbial in our makeup. There's no getting around that. Like, that is part of being a human, is being composed of a lot of non-human things. And, you know, that's sounds a little bit funny, but it is the reality of this physical vessel that we walk around in, this physical being that we are. And if we can really start to lean into that and, you know, honor those parts of ourselves and get back to concentrating on eating whole foods, eating foods that support our bodies and that support our digestive system, and not just eating for the sake of eating, I think that would solve a lot of the problems that we see societally that are going on within medicine that are now becoming chronic conditions for a lot of people and chronic conditions for a lot of young people. So if we could get to a place where we are starting to heal ourselves through nutrition, we are starting to decrease our inflammatory levels through nutrition and physical activity, and not through pharmaceuticals, not through medical procedures necessarily, but doing it ourselves, because that's the first step. And oftentimes that's how these problems develop, is from things that we've done to ourselves. So we could walk that back and really get to a place of low inflammation, low dysbiosis, high community engagement within the digestive system and the gut, and really connecting ourselves to ourselves. So like honoring all parts of us, including the physical, the bacterial, the fungal, all of it. And then ultimately get to a place where we can access the spiritual or the higher levels of consciousness, the more emotionally based levels of our existence, because our physical is just functioning so well. That would be a beautiful place. And that would take us from sick, weak, tired, to healthy, strong, and vital. And I know that becoming superhuman is your birthright. So please keep that in mind when you go to the grocery store and fill your cart the next time you're out shopping. Thank you for joining me today, and I will see you next time on Becoming Superhuman.